Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The Ice Man Cometh was a play written by Eugene O'Neill. It was produced on Broadway and later became a motion picture. But the Axe Man Cometh is my own unique description of the ministry of John, son of Zechariah, better known to us as John the Baptist. And it really is easy to identify John as God's Axe Man when we see him in action today in the gospel. For like a man yielding a large axe, the baptizer's message would lay open and expose our human hypocrisy. It would cut right to the heart of our sins. In fact, John was God's instrument to lay the axe at a family tree that could trace its evil roots back to the sins of Adam and Eve. The baptizer, you might say, then came into our world to chop down and to remove every excuse that we sinners make for ourselves, and we make plenty. In fact, our excuses are like a jungle overgrown that God has to first cut through in order to find us and save us. Without knowing it, we put so much distance between ourselves and God when we dismiss our own sins so easily. And so God used the preaching of John to destroy all such self-deluded, self-righteousness, so that we would be led to put our full hope in Jesus Christ. I really considered having a real chainsaw brought out here today. Maybe Pastor Wright could have cranked it up. He likes that kind of thing. to tell you this next illustration, but you're just going to have to use your imaginations. Imagine a stranger busting down your door, barging into your house with a buzzing chainsaw. That's a frightening thought. Imagine that same intruder biting into your precious home furnishings with that chainsaw. First, he saws through your table and chairs so that wood chips are flying. Next, he saws through your sofa so that fabric bits are flying. And then he saws through your giant widescreen TV so that fragments of glass and sparks are flying. And then, after sawing through your sofa, your table, and your television, that mysterious figure that seems so hell-bent on destruction turns and looks at you. That, my friends, is John the Baptist. And that is the kind of adrenaline rush that his message created of impending doom against sinners. That's what was produced in the hearts of his hearers. John was truly that axe man on the world's doorstep. He stood ready to enter the door of every human heart to destroy all human pride and every hypocritical pretense that exalts itself above God. There had been a long hiatus between the Old and New Testament where there had been no prophecy, no prophets from the Lord. And suddenly John appears out of nowhere on the biblical landscape, calling sinners to repentance. The Baptist was deliberately sent by God to the children of Israel, a people not unlike us. Like us, they were a people who had been religious, but over time they had become apathetic towards God, and they had become complacent about their sins. And John would shake these people from their self-satisfied lifestyles. He would wake them up to the realization that God is truly angry with sinners. He would come crashing onto the scene like a madman, wielding a big axe and swinging it in all directions, disturbing our peace. And with that axe, he would shatter people's illusions that everything was fine between them and God. Things were not fine. Sin is serious, and sinners need to repent and be baptized and receive the forgiveness of their sins. Even though John's actions were all part of God's salvation plan, it would have appeared to those who had witnessed his ministry that John was kind of a man gone berserk, even the way he looked and the way he dressed. If you had observed John, you would have concluded that he was some kind of man on a holy rampage. And he was frighteningly intense as he represented God's own blistering anger against sin and sinners. And yet John had clear biblical convictions about what is right and what is wrong. And you know, that really stood out in a world with no moral compass. And he had a profound biblical understanding of what is true and what is false. And that attracted people who had no spiritual guidance in their lives. When the crowds asked John the Baptizer, "What are we supposed to do?" He knew what to tell them. He told them to love God with all of their hearts and to love their neighbors as themselves. And so even though John the Baptizer made people very uncomfortable, his confidence and his bold assertions about the Bible impressed the crowds to the point that people couldn't resist going out for themselves and having a look. And when they came out and heard him, they sensed they were in the presence of a great prophet. In fact, they even speculated that John might be the one that they had been expecting, the very Christ himself. John would be quick to dispel that rumor because his intention was to bring glory to Christ. John went into the region around the Jordan preaching against sin and against sinners in a vigorous, vehement way. He preached against sin with a vengeance. And so, like an axe, his words cut to the quick. His sermons spared no one, from the least to the greatest. Not even King Herod could escape John's judgment. And John didn't speak in the sort of toned-down political correctness that we're so used to hearing. We see this when John refers to someone who came, not mocking him, but actually came to be baptized by him, and he refers to them as a brood of vipers. Apparently, as a prophet, John knew that their request was shallow, that it lacked sincerity, and that it was only for show. And so, when he calls them a brood of vipers, he's not pulling any punches here, because he's telling these hypocrites that what they really are is the evil spawn and offspring of that great serpent, Satan, who had so long ago beguiled our first parents, Adam and Eve. John was God's axe man, sent to destroy that little pretend world that we sinners sometimes create for ourselves. John destroyed that illusion that you and I are perfect and everyone owes us an explanation. But instead, he would show that we are the ones at fault who owe God an explanation. John was sent to chop down all of that human pride and pretense that would keep you and I from failing to acknowledge our sin and falling to our knees in deep repentance. But in order to do that, John would need more than an axe. John at times was more like a giant wrecking ball sent from heaven to clear the way on earth for Christ. John was a one-man road construction team, sent to prepare that royal highway that King Jesus would travel on. And to get that job done, John would use the spiritual equivalent of C4 explosives, of bulldozers and jackhammers, and whatever else it took to crush human pride. He came to prepare the way for the Lord. But that would not be easy. The people were not yet ready to receive that joyous news that the Son of God had been born into our world. John found the people's hearts were like stone. We sinners erect these great stone walls of pride so that no one can see our sins. But these high walls of pride also effectively keep God out of our lives. And so these walls would have to come down before Christ could enter our hearts by faith. And so when our lesson refers to that work of filling in every valley, of making every mountain disappear, of flattening every hill, of leveling out all of those rough places, it's referring to John's mission of clearing the way for Christ in our lives by bringing down that wall of pride through repentance. For his message to have success, we need to see ourselves as that uneven terrain that needs to be leveled before you and I can walk with the Lord. For you and I are the hills and the valleys that are being reworked during this Advent. Advent is our time to repent in preparation for Christmas. And as counterintuitive as it sounds, nothing gets us in the joyous mood to receive the news of our Savior's birth at Christmas more than this season of repentance. For it's only when you and I become fully aware that we are real sinners, deserving of real punishment, the unquenchable fires, as John calls hell, that we will truly savor and celebrate the importance of the arrival of Jesus as our Savior from sin at Christmas. John, however, wasn't only into spiritual demolition. His purpose was also to preach the good news of the gospel, as stated in our text. He warned people about their sins so that he could tell them how God had provided Jesus, who would completely save us from the punishments our sins deserved. It's true, John destroyed, but he only destroyed spiritual arrogance, not souls. His mission was to save souls, for ultimately John was into restoration. He restored faith and hope by preaching Christ, which is gospel. John would only preach law to clear that path so the Lord could enter the heart. But his truest joy was to proclaim the coming of the Lord and the good news surrounding his birth into our world. Yes, John preached the law fervently. In fact, you could even say he preached it ferociously, but it was only preparatory. He crushed self-righteousness so that we would desire and want the righteousness of Christ that would be freely offered to us as a gift in the gospel. The law is intended, you see, to level our sinful pride so that God can lift you and I out of the valley of the shadow of death with that good news of his Son, who was born flesh and blood and lived among us. There is a biblical reason why I call John the axe man. In this text, John will say, "Even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree, and every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." John didn't realize it, but he was the very axe that he was describing. And John would refer to those who had ignored all God's previous calls to repentance as dead wood that needed cut down. They were dead men walking because their lives were fruitless and therefore meaningless. And so in this season of Advent, you and I need to test the sincerity of our faith by asking ourselves if we see the fruit of faith in our lives. Is our life bearing good fruit for God, or are we just dead wood walking? Now, in the modern world, we no longer talk about bearing fruit. We talk about making a profit. And so in the modern world, the axe man has grown to have somewhat different connotations. John could be thought of as the spiritual equivalent in the modern world as the corporate henchman. In the corporate world, we know how it works. Some suit flies in and visits the business and does cost cutting by firing or laying off all non-essential personnel, with profit margin being the overarching consideration. The axe man lays off those who do not produce enough earning, at least in the eyes of the company. Like his ancient counterpart who literally lopped off people's heads into a basket, we say that the corporate henchman comes in to give people the axe. And we all know the result. Nervous employees fear for their jobs when that corporate henchman suddenly appears in the business workplace. Employees suddenly find themselves having to justify their place in the company, their job performance. And the henchman is hated because the corporation has asked him to terminate positions in the company based only upon profit without any concern for people. And money is always the bottom line in these decisions. God is certainly not that greedy corporation or CEO who sends in the henchmen. But God does evaluate and judge those he has created when their fruitless, faithless lives prove fruitless. When John entered the scene as God's axeman, he was not well liked either, though he spoke only God's perfect, holy justice and judgment. But we sinners do not like being held accountable to God. Because John represented a threat that the people might lose their place in the kingdom, they felt like he was antagonistic. And John did give Israel a low rating on spiritual job performance. God had graciously given Israel a place in his kingdom, but many were in danger of losing their place because they lacked true repentance and faith. My friends, God does not want to give you the axe. He does not want you to lose your place in heaven. He only wants you to lose your sinful pride that would otherwise keep you from receiving Christ this Christmas with true repentant joy. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes our limited understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.